This is day three officially of the government shutdown. The one we asked you about yesterday, does it affect your life? On the news click, 4 to 5 people said no. It's my thesis that it's something that people don't pay attention to, that government shutdowns, as one caller said, are a feature, no longer a bug of government. Connell McShane, I know we follow shutdowns and we're always all about them and covering them as we should, but I don't know if this one is really permeating into the public consciousness. Yes. Welcome back.
Thank you, John. Yeah, they don't usually, except for the people who are affected, you know, directly by them, and for them, it's well into their consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
Especially this one, more so than the past, because instead of simple furloughs for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of government workers around the country, the administration now is threatening, as you know, permanent job cuts in many cases, especially at agencies. The president talked about it yesterday. These, as he calls them, Democrat agencies, but they have a list at the White House, we've been told, of agencies that they're going to go through, and then the Office of Management and Budget, which is headed up by Russ Vought, as President Trump described him, of Project 2025 fame. He will, you know, go through and maybe identify people there that they don't want coming back ever. So that would be different, because most of the time in shutdowns, as you know, it's tough especially a lot of people live in paycheck to paycheck. You're not getting paid, even members of the military. But once they solve the thing and they vote to open up the government again, you get your back pay. So as difficult as it is, you don't necessarily lose out on anything, especially not your job. But this time might be different for some people, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's got to go through a court challenge, I imagine, at some point.
Probably.
Yeah, and I don't know what happens, right? And the way the courts have been working, this is a brief aside, but with so many cases now being decided, or at least ruled the injunctions, whether they're allowed to continue or not, through the shadow docket, sure, it might get resolved on the merits 2 years later, but for someone that lost their job, those 2 years, they probably found some other gig. Like, so by, in essence, even if you win a court challenge in a year or two, you've probably moved on. So what the executive branch does kind of sticks these days.
You know, I think that's a good point. And, you know, this has been something that you don't see often from presidential administrations or even members of Congress. And, you know, for better or worse, it's something that you can kind of rely on the Trump administration to do, which is be overt in their intentions. There's really no hiding it most of the time. The president, most, you know, politicians will hide what they're trying to do or put it behind some other kind of initiative. But a lot of times he comes out and says exactly what he wants to do. His supporters love that about him, of course. But then, you know, people on the other side of these things are like, wait a second, what? So this is a good example of that. He says, well, this is an opportunity for me. Remember the old saying used to be, don't let every crisis presents an opportunity. And then, you know, the politicians will be asked about it and they usually deny that. No, that's not what we're doing. He said, well, this is an opportunity for me. If you guys want to shut down the government, you guys being the Democrats, to make these cuts that I've wanted to make anyway. So he's going to try to take advantage of what he sees as an opportunity. We'll see, to your point, how it plays out in the courts.
Yeah, there's always a lot of jockeying during these shutdowns. They ultimately just become who blinked first or who really caused it. And I wonder which argument is going to sink through, if any. You know, the president is obviously of the Republican Party, so are both houses of Congress. And I think the Democrats' argument, or some of them, are just saying, look, you control the government. This is on you. It's a little harder to explain to the public. No, you actually need 60 votes to break, you know, debate and be able to bring a vote to the Senate. So you need to. I'm already lost myself if you didn't spend any time working in Washington. And I think just some of the polling I've seen, I think the Republicans as of right now are getting more of the blame just simply because they are in charge of all parts of that government.
They are, but the Democrats shut this one down. I don't think that's really a partisan statement. It's just the way it kind of worked out logistically, and chose to do so for their own political reasons, which was to draw attention to things that they think are important. And, you know, there may be some political gain there and political risk for Republicans, specifically when it comes to health care. We were talking about it yesterday on our show on News Nation, is that the Democrats over the last few years have gotten into fights that they don't want to get into with the president all the time on issues like the economy and immigration, some places where he thinks he has an advantage. Healthcare has been a place where the Democrats have an advantage, and they sense that advantage. So they could have voted to keep the government open and continue negotiating with what was, as it's described, a clean CR, meaning a continuing resolution with nothing else attached to it. That is what the Republicans put forward, and they chose not to. So the shutdown, you know, logistically, is on the Democrats. So if you want to say who's going to blink first, probably them at some point, whenever they think they've gone far enough, to make their point that this healthcare issue is a big issue, and the expiration of the Obamacare subsidies is going to mean people are going to pay a lot more money in many cases on their healthcare premiums. So once they've brought the public attention to that, to what they feel is a sufficient level, you know, it would seem to me the Democrats would be more likely to blink, but they like where they stand on that issue, and they think it's a winning issue for them. So we'll see.
You bring up a great point, and I mean, obviously the Trump second administration is vastly different from the first administration in so many ways, but you're right. I think the Democrats, maybe smartly so, we'll see, are running a playbook they ran in the first administration when the Trump administration tried to kill Obamacare, the famous McCain downvote, and then trying to hammer through the midterms in which they obviously won back the House in 2018. It was healthcare, healthcare, healthcare. And, you know, I don't know if that playbook works in 2026, but maybe that is something they've tapped into. Hey, we're going to tackle this one thing and hammer this as much as possible because it's worked for us in the past a couple times.
Well, because if you just look at it practically, what people see is that they're going to be paying more, and they already think they're paying a lot because they are for their health care in many cases, even people with private insurance, but certainly people who rely on the ACA or Obamacare to do so. Those premiums, if you just look at it, will go up if the subsidies expire. Now, the Republicans have an argument on this as well, which is an interesting argument because think about it. Those subsidies were put in during COVID, and they were supposed to be temporary. Now, as you know, the problem with anything in government that's supposed to be temporary is that once it expires, you have a huge argument about it because nobody wants it to be temporary if they're benefiting from it, right? So that you, if you're a fiscal conservative in this country, I don't know that there's any of those left really in both parties, to be honest with you, but if you are a fiscal conservative and you approach it from that side, you say, well, we could barely afford these subsidies when we passed them, and they passed by, you know, it was a close vote. So it's like we could barely afford it then. We're in probably a worse fiscal situation now. How can we afford it? That's what, you know, the fiscal conservatives of the world, maybe a Mike Johnson as the Speaker of the House, could argue. But from a practical perspective, again, this is real money for people, and a lot of people don't care about that, whether it's temporary or permanent or not. They say, well, listen, I'm going to be paying more at the end of the year for my premiums, and somebody's got to do something about that. So it's interesting how it all could be presented and which side you would take, you know, ideologically. But if you're affected by it in your real life with your family, that's something else. And that's what the Democrats are kind of betting on, that the longer this drags on and the more attention that's paid to that, that people will turn on the Republicans.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. It's a fascinating political gamemanship back and forth to see how it is. You mentioned that point about once you get something or a tax or something and you don't want it to go away. I still believe I'm paying for the tollway, which they promised I'd only be paying for 10 years. So
right.
Yeah, exactly. That is part of it. You know, a lot of these, I think people have this perception that the government shuts down all the time. It doesn't. Get to the brink a lot. And we also have the debt ceiling debate that has percolated over the years, which is way more serious than a government shutdown, but hasn't crossed that threshold yet. But one of our callers earlier this week, Connell, just said back in 95 or in the 80s, when there was a government shutdown, it was seen as a failure, a pox on both of the houses. And now it seems to be more like a bargaining tool. I don't know if you agree with that thesis or we're looking back with rose-colored glasses, but it just seems to be a symptom of what is just a broken government in general.
I think generally speaking, I would agree with that on the shutdown part of it. And you're absolutely right about the debt ceiling because of the full faith and credit of the United States government being on the line. That's what we've got on our side. And if we're not paying our obligations, or there's no trust in the world financial markets for us to do so, or if we were able to ever default on our debt, I mean, that's a big deal. That's a bigger deal than this. So, I mean, generally speaking, I think I agree with that in these funding debates because, to your point, we, you know, it did get it, a lot of this probably came out of the Newt Gingrich class of 94 coming in and the fights with President Clinton, and then it's escalated from there. And, you know, whichever side is out of power or out of the White House, you know, tends to try to use whatever leverage they can have. And in this case, the Democrats, I think you said this earlier, the Republicans might get the blame early on from the public because they're, quote unquote, in power controlling House, Senate, White House. But the Democrats see this as their only leverage right now. Mm-hmm. And in a divided world where they feel like they have to, quote unquote, fight back against Donald Trump and, you know, their base I don't know, you know, how much is really to that and how much of the public at large is a member of this base that's paying so close of attention to what Chuck Schumer's doing to fight back. But there's, you know, a lot of people who raise money for the Democrats who pay very close attention to that, or might primary Schumer with an AOC, say, in New York. That type of political pressure is real, or he perceives it as real. So, you know, that's probably what motivates him to make that these types of decisions that maybe, to your point, you know, 30, 40 years ago would be less likely. Everybody get together after work and have a drink with Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan. Yep. And, you know, all those types of stories. I mean, I guess it is a different world now, and it's, you know, it is what it is sort of thing. But that's what I think driving this is a lot. You know, Schumer feels like he has to do it. And, you know, how long he keeps that position is, you know, going to decide how long pretty much the government is shut down for.
Connell McShane will be watching 2 to 5. I know you're covering the anti-ICE protests.
Yes.
In Broadview as well. So we'll be watching, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Thanks, John.